Blog Talk Radio. everyone. Good evening. Thank you all so much for joining us on tonight. Thank you for being ready to hear what the Lord has for us. I want to start off with saying, if you're not speaking, please mute your phones, because this is digital and everything is being heard. So please mute your phones until it's time for you to speak. So for right now, I'm going to tell you I am Minister Sylvia Kaiser. I am the host for Monday Night Service of Smile 3E on Sharpening Iron. So I hope you have your Bibles, your pencils, pens, and your papers ready to hear what the Lord is saying. And I hope you are so excited like I am about what God is doing on tonight. I am going to check to see if the woman of God is on the line, and we're going to get ready to allow her to let God use her to bless the body of Christ on tonight. But please share this service with your family and friends. It's not too late. It's not too late to call and text them and let them know that Minister Margot McCord will be ministering on tonight. Minister Margot, are you on the line?
Yes, God bless you, Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I am on the line. And
I wanted to share this before I release it into your hands. I liked something you had said on yesterday, Cousins Conquering Ministry. I love that. And I just want to say, Cousin, go on and conquer the body of Christ tonight. Let God use you. It is now in your hands to do whatever it is that God has put on your heart to bless us with tonight. It's in your hands, Minister.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless those who are listening tonight. And I know Minister Sylvia says this a lot. Nobody, and I hear people say it, but I am truly about what God is doing, what God is doing. I'm going to ask, so please put your phone on mute so that we don't miss anything and that we overshadow our speakers tonight. And I'm just really excited because the Lord has given me to ask that next generation beneath me to come to us tonight. And he gave me a word, and the fact that we call them Generation X, but the Lord dropped in my spirit that they are Generation Extraordinary. Extraordinary, because they are going to do God's will. And as my Aunt Catherine was saying when I spoke to her tonight, it's great to see young people who are willing to give their time to God, who are willing to actually say, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'm available. And that's what happened tonight for us, because I asked one of my nieces and two of my nephews if they would minister tonight. And we are going to be blessed tonight. And we are going to be blessed by cousins who conquer. Cousins who will conquer those for the kingdom of God. Because he's calling us to battle. There is a war going on. There is a war going on for our souls, for our hearts, and for our minds. And we must battle the enemy. And I am so happy, excuse me, to be able to say these young people are putting on the whole armor of God. Excuse me. Satan is a lot. Not any problem. So, we will go ahead and start going to start tonight. Excuse me. I need to just take a little water, please. Pray for me. I'm sorry. You're going to be blessed by with a selection from my Cynthia Seabury. She's going to set the atmosphere for us, the worst for us, the worst not song of praise, honor God. And I'm sure the Lord is going to bless us with her to minister to us tonight in song. After we will be prayed for and brought the throne by my nephew, James Montgomery. He's going to lead us in prayer. Ask the word of God will be spoken to us by George Henry III. What a lineup. Can you believe it? God is good. Cousins who conquer. And we are just going to sit back and just be blessed by these young people. Be blessed by their agreement to step up, to be available, and to minister to the body of Christ. So we're going to start with Cynthia. Are you on the line here? If so, please favor us with a wonderful song of praise. It's in your hands, sweetheart.
Okay. There was a time, that I didn't follow you. And there was a time, I didn't care about myself. But I heard a voice, that never left me. For never letting me down. Seems I heard a cry to run on. There's nothing left behind you. Yeah. Seems I heard a cry to be strong. Stay forward. Ground, yes. It seems I heard a cry to run on. There is nothing left behind you, yes. Oh, so pillar, don't you ever turn around. Don't you ever turn around.
Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I heard a voice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless her, God. Bless her, God. And we thank you, God, for that. Thank you for the narrative. We are to go forward and not go forward. And I know there seems to be a, I'm not sure what's going on, but we are going to go forward. Okay, we are going to go forward. Again, just check your phones. I'm going to turn my phone on now, and we're going to ask James if he would lead us to this prayer, pray for us, Carol, and pray that the Lord, George, can hear me. I hope you can hear me.
I am here.
Okay.
Is anybody
thank
else
you.
Getting lots of garbly feedback?
If any lines are open at the time, if you're not speaking, please mute your phone so the speaker can be heard and not be drowned out by all of the open lines. Please mute your phone so that we can enjoy the service without the feedback. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Minister Kaiser. And so, I'm sorry, Minister Kaiser, right. Got to get all those names. And we're going to ask again. James is going to pray right now, and then it will be, the service will be in the hands of George Seabury. So thank you, James. Unmute your phone.
You're welcome, Monty. I greatly appreciate the honor. People of God, as we get ready to hear the word of God, I would like to ask that y'all open your ears and close your mouth and hear what the Lord is about to bring to us, so that we can be able to take the word and be able to use it in our everyday life, and not only use it for us, but to be able to spread it to others so that they will be able to use his word as well. Lord, as we come to you, first and foremost, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the things that you've done in all our lives. We want to ask that you open our hearts so that we would be able to hear your word and to take it and be able to use it in the way that we need to use it so that it can be spread to your people. Lord, as we prepare our hearts, we know that right now with the things that are going on in the world, especially with what's going on with this whole COVID issue and the school issue, Lord, we know that you have your hand on this and that you are the creator of all and that you can take care of anything that is on this earth because you made it so. So, Lord, as we prepare to get ready for your word, let our hearts be at ease so that we can be able to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Okay. George Seabury III. The program is yours now. Go as God leads.
That would be a very long-distance phone call. My name is actually George R. Seabury IV. Hello? Hello? Did I get cut off?
Yes, George. Go ahead. We hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No, you said George R. Seabury III, and I love my father. I will forever, but I... Well, good evening. I'm sorry to be tardy to the party. I'm not sure who's all on here, but everybody in the sound of my voice, be blessed. As stated, my name is George Randall Seabury IV. Most people call me Randy. Some people call me, oh, not that guy again, but we ain't going to talk about them. I'm glad that I could be here with you this evening. I had a late work day, you know, just off the topic. I'm not going to waste too much time on it. I'm a contract carpenter, and sometimes things don't go always as they plan, but I do appreciate you guys giving me this opportunity to speak to you, and may God be in this session and add his wisdom to anything that I said. It's not about me. It's about him. And I'm not sure about the time frame, but I won't hold you here long. I did want to give you something. I always think about Jesus asking Peter to feed his sheep. So, of course, when my auntie afforded me this opportunity, I began to overthink it. I get accused of overthinking every day. As a matter of fact, I got accused of overthinking today. I don't like to believe that I overthink. I like to believe that I observe better than most. So that's me. So the first thing was, what do I feed your sheep? What do I bring them? These are people from all over the place, East Coast to West Coast, and probably beyond. These are people who are much more mature in their walk with Christ than me, as well as those who are not quite as mature. So, again, I quote-unquote overthink it, overthought it. I wanted to bring something that would be beneficial to everybody. And in all honesty, it was a little overwhelming. And then I thought about the KISS rule. If anybody doesn't know the KISS rule, under the sound of my voice, KISS stands for keep it simple. Stupid. So we are going to do that. What we're going to do, or what I'm going to attempt to do with the help of the Holy Spirit, please be with me, is to give you something that may not blow your mind, but ultimately should alter your mind, because that's what God does. A lot of places I went in my mind, as I was telling my mother not too long ago in an earlier conversation, applied to things that I know. They'll tell you a lot of times when you have to teach something or when you have to talk about something, talk about yourself. If any of you are familiar with a group called the Toastmasters, the first speech is an icebreaker, because they say the thing that you can speak about most and the thing that you can speak about best is yourself. So I thought about applying the things that God has done in my life to this. First thought was the prodigal son, because I'm sure everybody under the sound of my voice has done everything correctly. But let me tell you, if you don't know me, even though I'm surrounded by a lot of relatives right now, I am the king of making mistakes. Paul said he's the chief of all sinners. Well, I challenge that, sir. So my first thought was the prodigal son, because that is me. And if we all want to get naked before the Lord and be honest, we are all prodigal children. But that didn't stick. It didn't feel right. It felt forced. And my mind went a lot of other places, and I thought about something that was near and dear to my heart, which is women. I have had it said to me that because of the fact that the Word of God is written in the hands of men, that it is kind of slanted. But that's a short-sighted view. That's what happens when you read a spiritual book with your physical eyes and you process it through an unwashed spirit and you use an unchanged heart, because there's nothing misogynistic about the canonized, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. I'm surrounded by school teachers. I'm sure they're correcting me in their minds right now. There's nothing slanted about the Word of God. It just requires research. I tell people all the time, if you want to read a book, read Harry Potter. It's a good book. If you want to study yourself, if you want to study your life, if you want to move the way you were designed to move, study the Word of God. You don't read it. So to make a point that has something to do with this situation. I'm going to talk about women. Because to some people's point of view, the Bible is slanted in a man's perspective, and it quote-unquote demonizes. Now, my quote-unquote demonizes women all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and that's where we're going to go. The first scripture I want to give you, and for those note takers, I got a few notes here. The first scripture I want to give you, this is where we're going to start off, is Genesis chapter 3. And forgive me, but I have a physical King James Version Bible that actually was my father's, and I have some notes in New King James Version and NIV Version. It reads different sometimes, but again, if you study, the words don't change. So we're going to start off with something that has always kind of stuck out to me. In the third chapter of Genesis, and we're going to bounce around a little bit, but I will give you the addresses to the scriptures that I use. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this story, so we'll just cut right into the actual scripture. Jeez. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 8, and I don't want to give you the backstory, but don't worry, I'll clear it up. Give me a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" And that's the crux. Where art thou? That's always stood out to me for the simple fact that here's a man, the only one in the garden that was created. And God came walking through the cool of the garden. When we fast forward through the Bible, God has presented himself in many different ways, but it caused Moses' hair to change colors. It caused other people to just drop dead instantly. It didn't just cause Moses' hair to change colors. It gave him a shine. You know, his face, his complexion changed. They say he glowed after that. But here this guy came walking. And it always stood out to me in my somewhat immature mind that God is just walking. You don't expect God to walk. Here's an omnipotent being, master of the universe, the day of judgment. He was here before there was a here, and he'll be here long after there's a there. And he just came strolling up, and he asked Adam, "Where art thou?" Where are you, Adam? Here's the God that knows everything. He knew what happened before it happened. He knows what's happening now. He knows what happens in the future. And he asked him, and that always stood out to me. So we're going to continue on in the text. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Okay, a little backstory. Adam was given full control. And the Lord just put something on my heart to share with everybody. This is how this breaks down. So God creates the garden. He creates everything. And on the sixth day, he created man after his own image and after his own likeness. Then he had Adam name all the animals before he created this mate. And in Genesis 2:18, it says that, And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast
of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused Adam to go into a deep sleep. We're going to pause right there. So he created the garden. He created life. He created Adam. Then he had Adam name all of the beasts. It's not as if God didn't have names for the beasts, but he created Adam to name the beasts because he created us as small gods on this plane, not omnipotent gods with a small g. And this is the pause, and this is what causes me to say this. For all my people, younger than me, older than me, same age as me, he created a man. That man had a job. That man had a place to stay. And then that man had a woman. So many times I see people do this out of order. You don't take that woman or that man to your parents' house and look for a job. You get a job and a house. Come on now. Then you get a mate. But moving on. I'm sorry. That was for somebody, whoever you are. Moving right along. So there was no suitable mate made for Adam. Then God did this. Check this out. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Stop. So, a suitable mate could not be found inside creation. He found a mate inside the man. This is going to sound, like I said, some people seeing some women, and I have a lot of strong women in my family. I was raised by a lot of strong, proud, powerful, God-fearing women. And to some people these days, they feel like women are a second-class citizen, and they are not. However, we all have a role to play. Just follow me. He caused man to sleep. This is the God that can do any and all things. He could have popped another one to existence, but he stopped him. He held him still. He put him to sleep. Sleep does a lot of things. It regenerates our cells. It allows us to conjure up deep thought. It brings us joy. Sometimes it brings us pain. But what it is a position of rest. Rest and sleep are not the same things, but one can receive rest while sleeping. And then once he created the woman of the man, now they are of one flesh. And it even goes on further to say that, and because of this reason, he will leave his mother, he will leave his father, and he will be joined to this woman, and the two shall become one, and what has been joined by God, no man shall separate. So he brought this woman out of this man, and he brought her to him. He presented her as a gift, and I'm not saying that like men own women. Men do not own women. They cover women. We are all the same. We are all part of one being. Some poet said once that a true friend is one heart beating in two chests. This is the original covenant. This is how God created it. And he gave her as a gift. And James 1:17 says that every gift, good gift, comes from God. She was a good gift. Proverbs 10:22 says the blessings of the Lord bring wealth and add no sorrow. She was a plus beyond pluses. Whatever created the plus is what Eve was. Now, the point of all this is if we go back to where we started, what Adam did was blame his shortcoming on Eve. But here's a sidebar. Watch this. Because, and I'm going out of order. It's kind of like the movie Pulp Fiction. But if you follow me, there's a point. God told Adam that he could partake of every fruit from every tree in the garden save one, the one in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you have to look at what he said. It's a lot in the details because, let me see. Oh, I found one I didn't write down, and I know it, but I really don't like to misquote the Bible, and I want to have this for anybody to look up if you're not familiar with Genesis. Watered the whole face of the earth. I'm not going to sit in this airspace too long, but I know it's right here. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. This is Genesis 2 and 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for the food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is the Pison, that is, it was it which encompasseth the whole land of Hebele, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and Onyx Stone. And the name of the second, I'm going to skip down a little bit, to 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden and dressed it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, here's the part, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in that day that thou eatest, thereof thou shalt surely die. So he told him he could eat from every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because on that day he would surely die. Now, along comes Eve, who had a conversation with a serpent. And let me tell you, as a man who has been a husband, if you allow a serpent, and I know there are women on this phone as well as men, if you allow a serpent to talk to your mate, you deserve whatever comes beyond that. I, to this day, don't understand how Adam watched his wife talk to a serpent. But the point is this. Listen to what she said to the serpent. We go to Genesis 3. And we'll start at 3. Nope. We'll start at 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Pause. That is not what God said. So that says to me that God never told Eve that. God told Adam. Adam told Eve. It's like the telephone game. And Eve got a second message. So she never got that message from God. She got that message from her husband. First Corinthians 11 and 3 says, as Christ is the head of every man, the head of the woman is the man. As Christ is the head of every man, the head, I'm trying not to paraphrase, I'm going off memory. As Christ is the head of every man, the head of the woman is the man. He is her covering. I had a conversation not too long ago. It does not subjugate necessarily a woman. It does not demean a woman. It does not put a woman in a secondary position. She is a spine. She is a backbone. And if you could show me a head outside of this crazy cartoon called Futurama that exists without a spine, I'd give you $1 million. So she is just as important, but she plays a different position. She is not subjugated. She is not secondary. She is not less than. She is as, if not more, important. But she requires a covering. This is not me. This is the way God designed it. This is his covenant.
his first covenant. Well, technically, his first covenant was him and Adam, but we ain't gonna split hairs. So, Adam allowed Eve to talk to a serpent. Eve fell into a trap that could have been prevented or wasn't supposed to be. I'm not here to explain that. When Adam went, instead of following the word of God that he was given, he followed the woman. And God gave him an opportunity. Where art thou? Where are you? And instead of telling him where he was, here's your second mistake. The first one was you let your woman talk to a snake. Here's the second one. You're passing the blame on to her. You're supposed to cover her. She is flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, blood of your blood. You're supposed to cover her, and instead you blame her. So, without going too far, because I've been doing this for about 20 minutes right now, I guess all I wanted to give you, and I hope somebody receives something, is we need to get back to the natural order of things. My sisters need to support my brothers, and my brothers need to cover my sisters, but you don't have to follow somebody who don't know where they're going. You don't have to follow, and this is not just interrelationship wise. This goes for pastors, this goes for friends, jobs, whatever. You don't, a person who doesn't know where they're going, any road will take them there, and they're a fool. And you're an even bigger fool if you follow them. Covenant is of God. Foolishness is not. We need to build each other up. We need to strengthen each other. We need to watch each other. We need to love each other. We have to get back to the place where we were. And I don't mean 20 years ago or 50 years ago. I mean before we decided that the knowledge of good and evil, because God has already dictated what is good, we need to get back to a place where the knowledge of good and evil does not supersede the tree of life, because you can only eat from one. Because subsequently after this came the curse of childbirth with pain, caused apparently serpents to crawl around on their bellies, shorten life. Because he said he had to put us out of the garden. We couldn't have both. Free will is what you make it. It's either a blessing or a curse. You can either freely praise God and reap the reward thereof, or you can freely choose something else. And I don't have the keys to heaven or hell, but I know what the word of God says about that. Remember, good things, all things, work for the good of those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Everybody knows it. It says all things work for the good of those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose, or who are the called, excuse me, according to his purpose. It doesn't say that good things happen to you. There's pain in this lifetime, and I know this is a little off topic, but I'm going with it, and I'm about to close. There's pain in this lifetime, but don't be so short-sighted that a little discomfort takes you off the path that you're supposed to be on. Trust in God, believe in God, love your brothers and sisters, even those who are unlovable. Do as you have been instructed to do. Get back to a covenant with each other and with God. And it will work out. This is just a trial run, people. This is temporary. This is temporal. This little flesh tent that we walk in, these desires that we have, all of this stuff is minor. We have been given the keys to a kingdom much greater than this. We've even been given a way to live this life that it can be beneficial. And we give it away for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when we get caught with our hand in the cookie jar, we blame the very person who was put there to help us, a helpmeet. I'm a carpenter. And a helpmeet, in my definition, is not the same as a helpmate. A helpmate is something that helps you go further in the direction that you're going. A helpmeet is something that keeps you from going beyond a point. Like when you see someone stud out a wall and they put a little cross piece that goes down to the base and goes up to the actual 2x4 in the corner, that's to keep them from going too far in, too far out, too far left, too far right. That's what a helpmeet is in the definition that I understand. It's not somebody that pushes you the way you want to go. Like when Eve was talking to this serpent and ate this fruit, Adam was supposed to stop her. The responsibility was on him. But instead, he went along for the ride. Don't. And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anybody else who can hear me. I love you all. I pray that I did you some justice. I pray that God was glorified. I speak peace over your life, prosperity over your life. I bind all the weapons of the devil that have been created and formed that come against you, that may even hurt, but they will not prosper. And I'm dirty because I've been working outside. I got to go in the bathtub. I love you guys. Thank you for listening.
Amen.
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 Sylvia.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia, for the solo. Thank you, James, for the prayer. And thank you, George the Fourth, for the word on tonight. Feed my sheep and then tell my spouse to cover me. Oh, I like that. Cousins who are conquering because they are generation extraordinary. I thank you for the word on tonight. I'm going to still ask you all to mute your phone. So if you talk one at a time. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from. Encourage these three young people that spoke, and plus encourage Minister Margot for allowing them to share her platform with them, because a lot of people don't understand. Sometime in order to let other people understand what God is doing, you have to step back and give them a chance. I thank God for her being able to open the door to let someone else know that God is still trying to use you. No matter what you have done, where you have been, there's still a work for you to be done in the kingdom. So please take your time, encourage them. The lines are open. Just once you speak, please mute your phones again. Thank you.
Okay, I'll start. This is Minister Margot. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight, and I just want to thank my wonderful niece and my nephews. I'm so sorry, George. I don't know. I can't count, I guess. You are the fourth, and I thank God for you. And the importance of covenant. I thought that was just wonderful in the fact that in your definition of help, meet was great. to make us understand it's not so much to push someone along, but to keep them right where they are in the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you all.
Thank you, Minister Margo. Is there anyone else who would like to speak encouragement into the man of God's life on tonight?
Good evening.
Yes. Hi.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, yes. Minister Ryan. We can hear you.
Okay. This is Ron Montgomery. I was very, very blessed to be able to, if you will, pluck the flower of the Seabury family and marry my bride, Tony. And I've been blessed in so many regards in that manner. And I really appreciate the ministry of the cousins this evening, the ministry of Cynthia in song, James in prayer, and, of course, Randy, George R. Seabury IV, in the word, Lord. And it goes without saying that there are a lot of toes stepped on tonight. And mine were amongst them. I guess that's why the Lord gives me 10 toes. So the ones I get stepped on, I got the elders to help me recover from that. But I appreciate the word. And I thank you young people so much for spreading the word in your own inimitable ways. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Thank you, Minister Ron. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on tonight for encouragement?
God bless everybody.
Yes.
Yes.
This is
Little Cynthia.
Go ahead, Little Cynthia. Go ahead.
It's Little Cynthia. Thank you, Aunt Margot, for letting me be a part. And I thank you, Randy, for speaking. You hit home with a lot of things because I have friends that I thought were friends, but they're not. And they really, you know, some of them want you to do what they want you to do. And it's not sometimes people are only in your life for a season. And you are not meant to follow that person with whatever they're doing because God has another plan. So I really thank you for your words tonight that God has given you. And I thank you, my cousin Jimmy. George. Or was it Jimmy or George? Either way, both of y'all, I love y'all. And thank you for just letting me be a part tonight because I really needed to hear some of the things that you said, Randy. I really needed to hear it. And I just love you so much, and I thank you for letting God use you, cousin. I really do. And I'm praying for you always.
Amen. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for your words of encouragement. And I just want everybody to know that these cousins is doing it for the Lord. So is there anyone else that would like to speak?
Yes, Carmita Seagary. And good evening, Minister Sheila, Sylvia, Minister Sylvia. And I want to thank you and also Margot for bringing this exciting program. And it's always wonderful to hear from those who are younger, that next generation coming up, speaking the word of God, because we do need more of that in this world today. And the song from Cynthia Pandora was beautiful. The prayer was very uplifting from James. I enjoyed this program, the word from George IV. All of it was very inspirational, and I love to hear these young folk, and that's right, you're still young because we all are 20 years older than you are. I love to hear the word of God coming from their mouths. And the word that was given today was inspirational because as he was speaking, I can remember the first time I heard the story of Adam and Eve as a child. It was just a story. But as I grew older and through study, you understand that there are meanings in every line, in every verse of every book. in that Bible. And one important thing that he, George had said was that you must study the word in order to understand it. Margot, a couple of days ago, had sent me a video, The Three Pillars of Strength, Prayer, Promise, and Purpose. And if you don't study, you will not know or understand what those three pillars are. Now, one thing that I did get from George's message this evening, that godly presence brings fear rather than joy to those whose consciences will convict them of their sin. See, there's no joy anywhere if you're sinning. And Adam and Eve expected to become like God. Now they were afraid even to talk to them. And what that does, and it does that in every relationship, it not only breaches the man's relationship with God, but it breaches the relationship between the two of them. So that's something, you know, that, like I said, there's a deep meaning in all of these verses. And the first time I read this, I really didn't get it. But George brought out a lot of good points here tonight, and I really appreciate it and loved it. And I want to thank all of you ministers and all of you young people who spoke tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on tonight?
Yes, I would just like to say thank you for all the nice things that y'all said, and I appreciate y'all, and I love y'all all back, too.
Hello, this is Mother Stone. I just want to just add to the encouragement for those, Cynthia, James, my son, who prayed, and Randy, for that word that was so solid, and it just, you know, it just speaks to the ministry that your uncle and I have about marriage. But there was so much that you said tonight that has such power in a having a solid relationship with Christ Jesus and understanding that he is our covering. And everything that we do, everything that we say is founded in him. And when we step from up under that word, it creates a problem for us. And just like the Lord said to Adam, sometimes he's saying to us, where art thou? What you doing? You call me your Lord and yet you act like I'm not? But, I mean, that's a whole other thing. But I just want to encourage you to just continue in that word, teaching, letting God use you in your unique way that he, Lord, might be glorified. And so I thank you. I thank you, Minister Renee, and Cecilia, for the work that y'all are doing, because that is giving this platform an opportunity to touch the lives of so many. Thank you, and be blessed.
Thank you, Mother Tony. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on tonight? Encourage these three people that stepped out of there.
God bless you. This is Pastor Troy. My cousin, I love you guys. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed Randy, the good Reverend Deacon Dr. the Fourth. I enjoyed the rest. I love all my aunties and my cousins. I love you guys so very much. I enjoyed that word. I enjoyed the revelation. I enjoyed the knowledge that is given. God gave us as man a mandate to protect our helpmeets. The women protect our vital organs. They take care of us health-wise. They take care of our well-being mentally and emotionally. And God gave us to protect them physically. It was Adam's position, after giving the instructions not to eat, to say, hold on, wife, God said don't do that. The sin didn't come when Eve ate it. The sin came when Adam gave it, because God gave the mandate to the man to be the protector and to provide her. The Bible says that the man should love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for them. In Genesis, the second chapter and the 18th verse, it says that God brought all the animals before Adam to see who he would call his wife, because all of the animals had male and female. But the Bible says that there was no suitable mate found for Adam. So then when he put him to sleep, he took from his rib. We all know that the body, that our ribs protects our vital organs. It's the covering for us physically. So then we as men have to learn to not to beat down the protector of our vital organs, to protect them and provide for them, to show forth a position of strength when it comes to them. And so then at this point, Adam failed that point. He failed that particular test. But God is good. He's a God of good. He's a God of love and salvation. He gives us the opportunity to do it all over again. Once we ask God for forgiveness, he throws in a sea of forgiveness, and he remembers them no more. So I thank God for his grace and his mercy and the opportunity, hallelujah, to do it again, to give us another chance. Cousin, that was a great point. I just speak into your life strength, God's revelation and his knowledge, and then a hunger after his word, a stronger hunger after him, after his righteousness. So Cynthia, keep singing. Sing to the power of God. Saturate everywhere you go. Saturate your heart that worship and praise becomes a part of your life. Cousin Jay, pray unto the power of the Lord changes lives. The songwriter said, God is able to do just what he said he's going to do. He's going to fulfill every promise. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you, because he is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask him or even think. Keep going. Keep proving. We have the opportunity to break every curse in our family, in our life, to put a new era. This is another generation. And the Bible says that the anointing falls down from the Aaron beard. It started with Big Mom, Big Pop. And it's coming down, not just one way, but it's coming down to the seed and the seed. So I turn to now pass it on for what's passed on to us. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much, and I enjoyed myself this evening.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And thank you, Pastor Troy. Is there anyone else that would like to speak at this time?
Hello, this is Felicia, and
okay.
I'm calling from Richardson Park. And first of all, I want to thank Margo for allowing these young people to bless us tonight. And I want to say, you know, I used to hear a saying, they would say, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you keep on getting what you're getting. And I want to say to Cynthia, keep on singing for the Lord. I want to say to James, keep on praying for the Lord. And I want to say to Randy, keep on preaching for the Lord. Because what you're doing, you're going to get his favor, God's favor. You'll continue to get his favor. You'll continue to get his love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his understanding, the anointing. And that's all I want to say. Just keep on doing what you're doing. You know, I think I might have said to Margo, where is our young generation? Where is the church of today? Thank God you young people are the church of today. So I just give God all the praise and glory. And I say to you young people, keep on doing what you're doing, and you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak?
This is Sister Carmen from Park Forest. I just want to say to those, you know, I listen on the third Monday, and I normally listen to Minister Margo. So all of those that I've just heard that I haven't heard, you're missing a treat. You're missing a blessing. So please come back. Come back and join us and listen to Minister Margo. But I thank God for her willingness and obedience to pass that torch, to allow the extraordinary, because they are beyond. If we just can imagine what God has for our seed and our seed, it's great. It is bright and absolutely fabulous. On Mondays, I purpose in my heart to pray for the men in my bloodline. the men in my friend's bloodline and my church bloodline, because the men, God has called them to be priests of the family. They are called. They are called to be priests, and we have to speak it, proclaim it, and stand on it, and without a shadow of a doubt, we've got to lift them up before the throne of God. We've got to speak into their lives that they are more than conquerors. They are blessed and highly favored, that they have on the whole armor of God. And I thank God for little Cynthia. God is doing an awesome thing in your life. And you look forward to, he's taking you to a higher height and a deeper depth. And the one thing about prayer, when a man prays, I'm a woman. I love me some women because I'm a woman. But when a man prays, so we have got to speak that our men will open up their mouth, they will pray, they will praise, they will worship, they will just go forth the way God intended for them to do. They're not to take a back seat to the women in the ministry, in the work of the ministry, in the household of faith. So I just thank God for the word that went forth. I love listening to the story of Adam and Eve, and I love the fact that this young man, he spoke it in truth, in truth, in truth. And that makes the difference in the word of God when you do not compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ and you speak it in truth. And his love for women, you know, when you don't have a love in your heart for that place that you came from, that God blessed you to come out of that womb and be able to be that person that God intended for you to be in this earth realm, but to know that you have a place that is not built by man, and that is the kingdom of God. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I admonish each and every one of you on the line to join me on Mondays and just go forth like never ever before, lifting up the men in your bloodline, whether it be by marriage or birth or adoption, on your father's side of the family and your mother's side of the family, that we will just go to the throne of God, because we want mighty powerful men to come in the household with us and abide, allow God to abide in their hearts and minds. And look at what this world will end up being. It will be something great and awesome that God intended it to be when men step up and take their rightful place as kings, you know, in the house of God. And that's all I have to say. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I love this ministry. I love it. I love it. It just feeds my soul every time, and I am truly, truly blessed.
Amen. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on tonight?
Yes, this is Cecilia. I wanted to say I thank you, Minister Sylvia, for obeying God and asking Minister Margot to be a part of this broadcast. Because of your obedience to God, we have the awesome privilege and such a gift that Minister Margot, she's a teacher, and the mentorship that she has in her life and in her ministry is evident on tonight. And I thank you, Minister Margot, for what you are still doing with your teaching, because you're doing it naturally and spiritually. I thank you for the ministry and the ministers of Psalmist Cynthia, of Minister James, of Minister Randy. I thank you all. I thank you for submitting to God and submitting to the Holy Spirit and reminding us the importance of being covered. It is so awesome that you are reminding us, those, like you said, that are your age, that are younger than you, and that are older than you, the importance of being covered. Thank you, man of God. great word, great reminder, and I talk about it all the time on my job. I remind my supervisor, sir, you're supposed to cover me because I understand the order on the job and in the church. So thank you, thank you, thank you, man of God. Great word, great word.
Amen, amen. Is there anyone else that is excited about what was said on tonight that would like to be spoken? They would like to let us hear what they have to say.
I would, this is Carmita again. I would just like to say to also to the young people, the people on the program, it was an awesome, awesome program. But speaking personally, I am amazed at the work that God is doing in George, because we have all prayed for George, and George knows the word. We just want it to stick with him. And this program has given him an opportunity to reach people because he can. I believe, just like Minister Margot, this is a calling. And we want to pray that he continues to answer the call of God. Stay on that straight and narrow path and become, I heard a minister say once, in order to, either you're going to kill the kid and feed the king, or you're going to kill the king and feed the kid. So we want him to become a kingdom man. And once again, thank you for presenting. This was an awesome program, and I hope we see more of this in the future, as well as the minister, Minister Margot, Minister Sylvia, all of you. This is a beautiful program, and thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to thank you all.
For those that don't know, that's my mom. Thank you, Mommy.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak into the different speaker's life for tonight, whether it was the solo or the prayer or the word? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give our final remarks, and I'm going to let Margot, Minister Margot, Minister Randy, and Minister James, and Minister Cynthia close us out tonight. Okay, but what I'm going to do is give you all our final remarks. Our final remarks starts off with me saying, Cynthia, little Cynthia, Minister Cynthia, I told you many years ago that God told me to tell you to set your atmosphere. Wherever you go and whatever you do, set your atmosphere, because you cannot do anything that God has not called for you. Even though you try, you have to do it God's way if it's going to come out in your best interest. So continue to set your atmosphere. For Minister James, we are family and we haven't had much to say, but I thank you for setting the atmosphere of prayer tonight to just come out and just give us prayer in the way that God has given you, because you set the atmosphere. And for Minister Randy, I thank you for letting us know that you were a little nervous, but you was going to do what God told you to do, because it was asked and you said yes. All it takes is a yes. When you give God your yes, he's going to use you. I thank you all and continue to set the atmosphere. For Minister Margot, I love the fact that you are not scared to share your spotlight. Minister Margot, keep setting the atmosphere. I want you all to know that we're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Next Monday, it will be Missionary Tony Montgomery and Elder Ron Montgomery. They will be teaching on family, marriage, and the importance of God's order. on Sunday mornings, we have Apostle Cecilia Kaiser with Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser. That's every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm sorry, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And on Fridays, this Friday will be my night, because it's the third Friday of the month. It will be me, myself, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, will be speaking, and I'm going to let God just have me share with everybody. He put in my heart to share with you all. That's at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please call in. Check it out on Facebook. I'm under Sylvia Kaiser. God has a word. This ministry was not just something threw together. It was something that was put together by Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser. She's the overseer. God put this in her heart many, many years ago, double-digit years, and she has kept it going. I thank God for her vision for Smile 3E Iron Sharpening Iron. This ministry is anointed and appointed, and every time you turn and tune in, you will be blessed. So at this time, I'm going to give you our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now is handed back into the hands of Minister Margot McCord.
Okay, thank you so much, Minister Sylvia. We just thank God. And I just simply like to ask the Lord to bless listener, bless each soul, each heart that is reaching to him tonight. It's a wonderful thing to know God is our covering. He is our covering. He covers us. He loves us. He cares for us. He put everything in place for us. We need not fear. We need not worry. We need not be distressed, no matter what. He is our covering. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you for covering us. Thank you for covering each individual, for each family member, for each friend, for each accompanying person here, everyone that they come in contact with. Let them reach out and tell them about Jesus. So they can be, God, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify you and we go just thanking you, God. Praise you. We love you. Help us to love each other as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray and give you the thanks, Lord. Amen and amen. Be blessed.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.